Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Y'all know what tomorrow is? How about that? How many of you went to the Veterans Day Parade? One. Oh, but Brother Cal, we can't do MoCo Day on Veterans Parade Day. How many of y'all went? Okay. I'm filing that away for future information. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. And we don't do this very much, but I want to pledge to our two flags here today. We do that? Can you get your knees to get up one more time? Now, our allegiance first and foremost goes to whom? And Jesus is God. So we're going to first of all pledge to the Christian flag. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One brotherhood uniting all Christians in service and love. Now the American flag, attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty. While you're standing, let me read the word to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Isn't that a great word? "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And here's where I want to focus this morning. "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life," excuse me, "that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Let's pray. Father, teach us to get to the point where we could call ourselves spiritual veterans of the faith. I thank you, Lord, for so many in our country who have served and paid the ultimate price, Lord, for our freedom. And I thank you for Jesus, who fought the fight all by himself, so that we might be set free from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. Thank you for him. Teach us to serve him. We want to be good soldiers of Christ Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Tomorrow, our nation will be honoring men and women who have served in some type of military branch in all across our country. And you know, even today, veterans are coming home from foreign soil, some with scars and injuries. Some of them, have coming home with PTSD. Some of our soldiers are coming home heartbroken. I will tell you, families, military life is really hard on our families. Many families struggle in their marriages, and I was at the Nashville Rescue Mission a couple of weeks ago, and I met a soldier there who's living on the streets of Nashville. He's homeless, a veteran. A lot of them are hurting today. They don't have any insurance, or they don't have what they need. And I want to just take a minute to think about some things, because I've never served in the military. But I want you to think about this. What would it be like to sign your name to a paper that could possibly mean the end of your life? What would it be like to walk down the cold hallways of a processing station? What would it be like to sleep in a squeaky bunk bed where men have laid their lives down to never come home again? I mean, it takes the faith of a soldier, great faith, to do those kinds of things. What would it be like to step on a plane not knowing if you'll ever come home again or not? What would it be like to hug your child and not know if that would be the last time you'll ever get to hug that child of yours? It takes great faith to be a soldier. Tomorrow's Veterans Day, and we're going to honor our veterans in here this morning. And in so doing today, we are going to take a look, a long look at what's required to be a true veteran, not just soldiers in a military aspect, but soldiers of the cross. If you're a veteran, or maybe even if you're on active duty, we want to honor you today. Would you just stand to your feet? If you're a veteran, any military branch, hallelujah. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to talk about what it means to be a soldier in one of our military branches today, and what it takes to be a soldier of the cross. And let's take a look at some of these characteristics here in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. First of all, a true soldier endures hardship. Look again at verse 3. It says, You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, if you're a soldier and you're serving this flag, which is the American flag, you're going to endure some hardships. You veterans know that there are hardships in serving as a soldier, right? You'll be away from your family from time to time. If you're a soldier in one of our military branches, you'll be asked to forget about your needs and place the needs of your troop that you're serving in, to place those needs above all of your needs. You'll have to follow orders. You'll have to endure lack of sleep. And you veterans, did you ever have to eat any of those nasty sea rations? Oh my goodness. You may even be asked to take a beachhead or a hill, protect your fellow soldiers. A soldier has to endure hardship from time to time. And some of our soldiers have been asked to even give the ultimate sacrifice by giving your life. When you serve this flag, you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're going to endure some hardships there as well. First of all, Jesus said, you've got to be willing to deny yourself if you're going to serve me. And you know what that means? Being willing to submit to His will, not your will. To deny yourself means to say, okay, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, do what you want me to do, be what you want me to be. I'm yours. That's what it means to deny yourself. And then surrendering your will to His will. And then Jesus said you take up a cross. Now, a cross is a symbol of death. I mean, if you get some first century Christians in here today and they see these crosses around our necks and tattoos of crosses and crosses in our head, they would think that we're about to have, because a cross is a symbol of a terrible death. And so to take up a cross means death to myself, but life in Christ Jesus. Got to be willing to die. And then He said, take up your cross and follow me. It's pretty simple, isn't it? We follow Him at all costs. And you know, I don't know why we preach this easy believism. It doesn't do the gospel any credit whatsoever. But I want to tell you, it ought to cost us. Because look what it cost our Lord and Savior. It ought to cost you. It'll cost you your time yesterday. Hello? It cost you your time. It'll cost you your money. It'll cost you your patience. It'll cost you all kinds of things. And it might, if you're living in another country today, if you're going to follow Jesus, guess what? It may cost you your life. Y'all forgive my voice today. I swallowed a lot of leaf dust and sawdust and all that. But you've got to be willing to endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I hope somebody told you that when you got saved. But if they didn't, I'm telling you today, sometimes it's tough. It's hard to follow Jesus. But how many of you know it's worth it? Amen. Secondly, a true soldier avoids worldly affairs or worldly entanglements. Look at verse 4a. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Now, when you serve this flag, the American flag, in your country, you're serving your country. And you serve with faith. Our soldiers, our men and women in the military, they're serving with faith. Because you know what it takes to be a soldier? You've got to place your faith in our government. I'm serious now. Because who takes care of our soldiers? That's right. And our government takes care of their needs. Their food, their clothing, their shelter, their medical needs. Even their families are helped by our government. And so as a soldier, you don't get involved in a lot of other side issues. You don't get involved with a lot of other pursuits. Your main priority as a soldier is to do what? To serve your country in the military branch that you're serving in. Am I right, Charles? I mean, you don't get involved in a lot of other things. Because the military life has top priority in your life. And it would cause some problems if you give your allegiance as a soldier to a lot of other worldly things. Are y'all with me? You know where I'm going now, don't you? Look at this flag. Scripture says, if you're following that flag and living for that kingdom, you have surrendered totally to the way of the cross. And when you serve this flag, you must have faith in the one that called you into His service. He's going to supply all of your needs. Philippians 4:19. Throw that up, would you? Listen, we don't have to worry about our needs. If you're a born-again child of God, and all of your sins are under the blood, you're living in, you know, you confessed and repented and turned from all your sins, God's going to meet your needs. Hallelujah. I'm going to have a Lamborghini and a Cadillac out in my car. Those are not needs. What does the Scripture say? Read it with me. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Receive that promise today. God is going to meet all of your needs. Your physical needs, your spiritual needs, your emotional needs, your relational needs, your social needs, every need you've got, He will supply. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so if you're in need today and you're in want for a need, there's something out of kilter. How many of you know that God's blessings are based on His grace and our obedience? God's under no circumstances to bless us if we're not living according to His will. Am I right? Anyways. So, I'm not saying that we don't need, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't get involved in other interests, okay? Not saying that you can't get involved in other pursuits, but what I am saying is this. Holding up the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ is our top priority. That's got to be number one. I even meet men and women in the ministry who get sidetracked with other issues and other pursuits and other... Listen, it's all about Jesus. I miss Brother Shep so bad. He used to sit right there where Charles is sitting every Sunday. And how many of you have ever heard Brother Shep say, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing? You know, I thought that rascal came up with that. But in my first New Testament class in seminary, my professor said, you know, guys, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And here I was thinking Shep was receiving royalties off of that. But that's it. The main thing is to keep the main thing. And the main thing is who? Jesus. He's got to have top priority in our life. Oh yeah, we can get entangled in some other things. But if Jesus isn't number one, everything else is going to go to pot anyways. Hello? And so what you do for Him bears eternal consequence. The older I get, the more I realize this. All I'm going to be able to take with me are the relationships that I've been able to birth here. That's all I'm going to take with me. I've got one life. I've got one life to lead people to Christ and to teach people to follow Christ. One life to do that. When I get there, not going to be any more of that. He's got to have top priority in my life. There's one final truth here, and this is where I really wanted to get. A true soldier is committed to his commanding officer. Uh-oh. Look at verse 4b. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. When you're serving this flag, when you're serving that flag, you're totally committed to your commanding officer. You're going to do what he tells you to do. You're going to go where he tells you to go. Why? Because he's got the way to victory. He knows what he's doing. And most buck privates and captains and lieutenants and all that, they may not be able to say it, but they believe it. Their commanding general knows what to do. And they're going to follow him because he is going to bring victory to them. They are committed to their commanding officer. If you're going to serve this flag, you're expected to be completely committed to Christ and His kingdom. You're expected to serve Him faithfully, not allowing anything to keep you from doing His will. I ran across this quote this week. Y'all know who John Newton is? He's the one who wrote the greatest hymn that we sing, Amazing Grace. Listen to what John Newton said. If two angels in heaven were given assignments by God at the same time, one of them to go and rule over the greatest nation on earth, and the other to go sweep the streets of the dirtiest village, each angel would be completely indifferent as to which one got which assignment. It simply wouldn't matter to them. Why? Because the real joy lies in being obedient to God. For a Christ follower, the important thing isn't what God has us doing. The important thing is that we're doing what God wants us doing. What a great statement that is. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And you know what? I've noticed some things about people who are committed to their commanding officer. I ran across another true story by a man that was serving this flag and our country. He was an old country boy up in Kentucky serving his country in World War II. His name is Garland Merle Connor. And he understood this truth that you're to be committed to your commanding officer. And in a lot of ways, you want to exalt and magnify your commanding officer. And Connor, in one day, in 1945, killed 50 German soldiers and saved his storied battalion on the front lines in France. He's been recognized with the Medal of Honor, the nation's highest award for acts of valor above and beyond the call of duty. The bravery of Connor, who died in 1998 at the age of 79, is well documented. This first lieutenant, who was wounded 7 times, earned an incredible 4 Silver Stars, 4 Bronze Stars, 7 Purple Hearts, and the Distinguished Service Cross for his World War II heroism. But it's what he did on January 24th of 1945 near Husson, France, that elevated his courage to mythical status. Listen to this. Legendary Major General Lloyd Ramsey tells the story of Connor's heroic actions. Earlier in the day, Connor, who had been badly wounded in the hip, sneaked away from a field hospital and made his way back to his unit's camp. His commanding officer was seeking a volunteer for a suicide mission. Run 400 yards directly toward the enemy line while unreeling telephone wire all the way to trenches on the front line. And from that point, the volunteer would be able to call in targeting coordinates for mortar fire. Connor grabbed the spool of wire and took off amidst intense enemy fire. He made it to the ditch, where he stayed in contact with his unit for 3 hours in near-zero degree weather as a ferocious onslaught of German tanks and infantry bore down on him. He held off 600 Germans and 6 tanks coming right at him. When they got too close, his commander told him to vacate the area. And instead, do you know what this first lieutenant from Kentucky backwoods said? Blanket my position. The request meant Connor was calling for artillery strikes as he was being overrun, risking his life in order to draw friendly fire that would take out the enemy too. In closing, Ramsey, who was then a lieutenant colonel, wrote to a colleague in Kentucky in 1945, when Connor was discharged, said, "I just sent one of my officers home. I'm really proud of Lieutenant Connor. He probably will call you, and if he does, he may not sound like a soldier. He'll sound like some good old country boy. But to my way of seeing it, he's one of the outstanding soldiers of this war, if not the outstanding soldier." This was a young country boy up in the state of Kentucky that did great things for his country in light of great danger and service to his commanding officer. And I want to tell you, I've come here today to tell y'all this. We serve a commanding general, if you will, who's much greater than Lieutenant Colonel Ramsey. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to make Him proud, and I know you do too. We want to magnify the one who enlisted us to serve in His army. And by the way, He's the one that called you into His army. And when you responded in faith, you joined the greatest army that this world... Did you know that the church is storming the gates of hell? Nothing can stand against us. I've read the last page of the book. We win because He won for us. Go ahead and give God some praise. Have mercy. If I'd have said that in the black church, brother, they'd be up here running around in the sanctuary. Anyways, one day we're all going to stand before our commanding officer. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're either going to hear one of two things. Depart from me. I never knew who you were. Or, well done, good and faithful soldier. Enter in to the joy of your salvation. And you see, the words that you want to hear then are determined by your actions now. There's a response anytime you read, hear, or experience the Word of God. Would you just bow your head with me right where you are today? Some of you are here and you need to say yes. God's calling you to something. And you know it. He knows it. And your heart knows it. But up to now, you're not doing what He's called you to do. And I will tell you, the Christian life is all about obedience. Jesus' mother told the servants at the wedding in Cana, just do what my son tells you to do. It's really pretty simple. God's telling you to sell out and surrender to Him today. Would you be willing to do that? It comes through just a simple childlike prayer. Lord, I love You. I thank You for serving me and giving me what I don't deserve. Thank You for this relationship that I'm in. And from here on out, Lord, I'm going to give You my whole heart. I'm going to put You first. You're going to have top priority in my life. Because I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Not going to get engaged in all kinds of other things. I'm going to put You first. I want to pray for you. And then if you need to respond in public prayer or private prayer here at the altar, if you need to begin a relationship with Christ, you don't have one, I want to ask you to come. Father, right now, help us to respond in obedience. General Jesus is available for any and all things. Touch my brothers and sisters with an extra measure of Your grace here today. Help us to endure hardship. God, help us. Help us, Lord, not to get entangled in anything and everything but Your kingdom work. And God, we want to magnify our commanding officer today through obedience to Your call and command. Whatever that looks like in somebody's life, the Holy Spirit's big enough to tell us. In Jesus' name. We pray.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.